All right, we're going to be in Genesis 21, starting in verse 22 this morning. I've entitled this sermon, Work for Peace So You Can Stay on Mission. Work for Peace So You Can Stay on Mission. Many people today are living their lives without any direction or purpose, but that should not be so with Christians. We know our supreme purpose. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:15 that Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. We're to live our lives for Christ. He's the one who died. We couldn't pay for our own sins. We were weak, ungodly sinners who were enemies of God. And in that state, He died for us, a substitution for us. He died, was buried, and was resurrected, so that if we place our faith in Him as our Lord and Savior, He saves us. And He saves us to a purpose, that we might live for Him. So how do we live for Christ? Well, we need to be involved in His mission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, He gives us what we call the Great Commission. It's the mission of Christ. And so, therefore, it's the mission for His people. Jesus appeared to His disciples and He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." You see, as Christians, we know our supreme purpose. Live for Christ by fulfilling His mission to make disciples of all nations. So your mission should be the Great Commission as a Christian. And here at Faith Baptist Church, we make disciples, and we summarize it this way. We make disciples by giving the gospel, by guarding the gospel. We are baptizing people in His name, right? We guard the gospel. We guard it from false teaching. We guard it from false confessions. And then the third thing we do is we grow Christians. So we give the gospel, we guard the gospel, and we grow Christians. We teach them whatsoever things Christ taught us. That's the mission. And you can best stay on mission when you're living at peace in the world with those around you. Therefore, you need to work for peace so that you can stay on mission. So Christians should work for peace. First of all, there's four things we're told in our scripture this morning. I think we get an example from Abraham. We should work for peace by being honest and kind with their neighbors. Be honest and kind to our neighbors. Abimelech here, as we read this story, Abimelech is the leader of the Philistines. And previous to this passage, he was deceived by Abraham. Abraham and Sarah came in, and Sarah said she was Abraham's brother. And so Abimelech took her into his home, and he did not have intercourse with her. But suddenly his house had a curse upon it. His wives were not bearing children. And the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Hey, look, don't touch her. This man's a prophet. And you need to send his wife back to him." So he was deceived by Abraham, and so he blessed Abraham, and he gave a token of, I think, 1,000 pieces of silver to Sarah as a sign that he had not mistreated her in any way, shape, or form. And so Abimelech responded righteously, and he blessed Abraham, offering to Abraham to dwell wherever he pleased in the land. And Abraham told him, he says, I feared that nobody was a God-fearing person. But it turns out that Abimelech was a God-fearing man. We could describe him that way. He recognizes God's blessing on Abraham, especially now that Isaac's been born. I mean, really, when do old people have kids? Right? So I think Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. People don't usually have kids like that age. So Abimelech sees that God is blessing Abraham, but he has legitimate concerns with Abraham because Abraham was deceptive with him prior to this passage. Let's read verses 22 through 24 and see what Abimelech does. It says, at that time, now this is Isaac's birth, and it's also at the time when Abraham has put out Hagar and Ishmael from his home, because the son of the slave woman will not inherit the promises that Isaac will get. The covenant is going to run through Isaac. The promised seed of the woman is going to come through Isaac's seed, which eventually happens with Jesus. But all that's going on when it says at that time. So at that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me, or with my descendants, or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. I will swear. And in Ephesians 4:25, Paul is writing to the church, and he tells the members of that church in Ephesus, he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, in other words, we lived our lives among the unsaved, and we behaved like unsaved people, and we deceived people. He says, we've put away falsehood. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. Perhaps you, like Abraham, haven't exactly dealt honestly and kindly with your neighbors. Is there someone that you need to go to and make amends with? Remember, you represent the Lord to others. Therefore, you need to work for peace so you can stay on mission to make disciples. The first way we see that you can do that is by being honest and kind with your neighbors. It's what is expected of Christians. Then look at verses 25 and 26. It says, when Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I've not heard of it until today. There was this point of contention that Abraham had. I put it this way. Christians should work for peace by not warring over possessions. Not warring over possessions. Abimelech's servants, without his knowledge, had taken one of Abraham's wells that he had dug for water for his flocks. It's important to see here that Abraham did not try to forcefully take back the well of water. He could have. If you remember back to Genesis 14, there were some raiding kings that had come into the land from over in the Nineveh, Babylon area. And they came into the promised land area and they'd begin to take over kingdoms, and they were ravaging everything. And when they did so, they took Lot. And Abraham took a small band of men and he went and he took Lot back. He defeated those kings and he came back with Lot and with a whole lot of possessions. But he wasn't worried about the possessions. He said to the king of Sodom, you can have all the possessions. I just want to make sure that Lot is okay. Abraham was willing to go to war over people, but not over possessions. This was just a well. He understood that he would eventually inherit the whole earth. And so he could have warred over this well, but he didn't. And Christians should not war over possessions, but instead engage in spiritual warfare over people's souls. You are to give the gospel to people. That's spiritual warfare. They are enslaved to this world and to Satan and their desires. Give the gospel to them. That's spiritual warfare. We should also guard the gospel because false teachers come in. And 1 Timothy talks about how they have the teaching of demons, and they use men who are insincere and calloused to the truth. That's spiritual warfare. We guard the gospel. We guard it through our church membership here at Faith Baptist Church. These are the battles Christians should engage in. But Christians should not war over possessions. Now, we have an exception. If you are a member in the armed forces and you're to battle on behalf of the United States of America, you're to do your job, right? I mean, and that's okay. But as Christians, we're not to be warring over possessions. People, including yourself, are more important than your possessions. Use the normal means available through government laws to peacefully settle disputes over possessions. Unless your dispute is with another member of your church. In that case, you're to go to the church and let the church decide, because it's a bad testimony when two Christians battle over possessions in the world. And you can see 1 Corinthians for that. Paul did not want people to smear the name of Christ in the court system. We should be able to work it out amongst ourselves. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18. We're to work for peace, and one way we do that is to not be focused on possessions. It's a very worldly thing. Romans 12, verse 18 through 21. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So when someone does us wrong, even, we're to leave that to the Lord. He says in verse 20, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're in a spiritual battle, folks. Stay on mission. Stay on mission. People are more important than possessions. So Christians should work for peace by not warring over possessions. Next, we see that Christians should work for peace by being good citizens of our earthly country. Look at verses 27 through 32 of Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verses 27 through 32. They're going to make a covenant with one another, which was kind of the way things operated back then. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. And the two men made a covenant. Now here Abraham is being gracious to Abimelech. Abimelech previously had been very gracious to Abraham. So he's being gracious back. And the two made a covenant. Verse 28. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock apart. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what's the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you've set apart? He said, these 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Beersheba becomes the southernmost border of the Promised Land. And as you read your Bible, you hear them say from Dan, which was the northernmost part, to Beersheba. And so this place name becomes a testimony to the fact to the children of Israel as they're going back into the Promised Land. Beersheba is the place where Abraham made an oath with the Philistine rulers. And so this thing has happened prior. So we have the 7 ewe lambs, which are a witness to Abimelech at that time. But the name of the place is going to be a testimony for as long as it's called that, right? That this event happened. It is a place of oaths. It's going to be where God confirms the Abrahamic covenant with Isaac later on. So it's a place of oaths. Christians need to work for peace so we can stay on mission by being good citizens of our earthly country. Now, Abraham knew he was a citizen of God's nation. Remember back in Genesis 12? Genesis 11, God disperses the nations and he disinherits them. He says, I'm not having anything to do with these guys. This is after Babel. He disperses the nations. And he said, I'm not having anything more to do with them until Christ comes, and then we're going to reclaim them. But he dispersed the nations, and then he tells Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2, now the Lord said to Abraham, or to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. So Abraham knew he was a citizen of God's nation, yet he had to live as a sojourner in the land he would eventually inherit. So he went to the promised land and he's living in the promised land, but he's not the one that owns the promised land at that point. And we're told about that in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. You see, Abraham knew that he was a part of God's nation. He also knew that he was never going to have the promised land itself until the new creation happens, when the city that comes down from God becomes implanted on this earth. And this is this new creation. And so he's waiting for that. He's living as a sojourner in a land that he would eventually inherit. So he makes a covenant with Abimelech to be a peaceful citizen as he waited for God's eternal promises to be fulfilled. We too, like Abraham, are citizens of God's nation. Look at Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Who won't that be a great day when we're transformed? But right now, we're citizens of heaven. But we too, like Abraham, are to be good citizens of our earthly nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17 says this, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. In other words, we're citizens of God's kingdom. We're actually free from the nations down here, but we're to submit to them as good citizens, living as servants of God. And he tells us in 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So let me just say this, honor the president. Even if you didn't vote for him. Our hope is not in earthly kings. I thank God that my mission is not to transform our government. I'm glad that my mission is not to make America great again. That's not my mission. That's not your mission, Christian. Our hope is not in earthly kings. We have an election coming up. And we spend time talking about a lot of things that aren't on mission. Here's what we can do in this upcoming election. Pray, vote, pray again, continue praying, and then be ready to worship the Lord with someone who didn't vote the same as you. Because we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. There are a lot of issues that divide our country right now. But there's not many of them that you can do a single thing about besides vote. So vote and then submit. When you have opportunities, when people bring things up, lovingly and graciously defend your views when the topic comes up, and then vote. Give your thoughts, hopefully biblically based thoughts, on why you're voting a certain way, and then vote. And that's about it on most issues. Focus your time and efforts on serving the true King. Stay on mission. Again, our hope is not in earthly kings. 1 Timothy 6:15, towards the end of the verse, it says, Jesus is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, who no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. You see, Christians should work for peace by being good citizens of our earthly country. So pay your taxes. Honor the governors, mayors, senators, House of Representatives, honor them, obey them, pray for them, and then serve your king. Serve your king. So finally, Christians should work for peace by praying that we can peacefully worship. Look at Genesis 21, verse 32 through 34. We jump in there after, in verse 32, after it says he made a covenant. It says, then Abimelech and Philcol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted the tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. You plant flowers for temporary enjoyment, but you plant trees when you're planning on staying a while, right? Trees don't really grow that fast. Abraham here has settled into a peaceful existence at what will become the southernmost border of the promised land, Beersheba. It is there that he calls on the name of the everlasting God. Now, this is the first time we see the Lord called the everlasting God. Abraham has a long view of history in mind as he serves the eternal God. We too must live our lives trusting in God as He sovereignly rules over His creation. Christians know how the story will end. We spend eternity in the new creation with the everlasting God. But until then, we serve and worship Him here where we are. We need to work for peace so we can stay on mission. Therefore, Christians should pray that we can peacefully worship in the here and now. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. And I've been reading 1 Timothy. It may be the next book that we go into. I've been reading it over and over. And it is really about spiritual warfare in the church. Satan and his demons are mentioned quite frequently in that book. And we're to guard ourselves and guard the gospel in the book of 1 Timothy. But he tells us how we ought to behave as members of God's house. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Why? Why do we pray for our leaders? So that we can lead peaceful and quiet lives, so that we can be godly and dignified. And he says in verse 3, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See the mission? Do you see the mission there? Stay on mission. Verse 5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed as a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Beloved, we are to be on God's mission. We here at Faith Baptist Church are to make disciples by giving the gospel, guarding the gospel from being corrupted from false teaching and false confessions. And we're to grow Christians into Christ-likeness through discipleship. That task is made easier when government leaders and our neighbors are at peace with us. Then we have the freedom to preach the gospel to others because God desires all people to be saved. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, right? The Mission Impossible thing. Your mission is to tell people about Jesus Christ because He's the only one that can save them. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I urge you, He's the only hope you have. You may have messed your life up royally because you've been living your life off mission. Or you may be here this morning and you were blissfully unaware that you were that there is a purpose that God has for His people. And you realize this morning, I'm not one of God's people. I'm not a citizen of God's nation. You need to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He gave Himself for you so that you would live for Him. And His purpose for us is to be on mission, the Great Commission. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I urge you to do so today. Your eternal fate hangs in the balance. Please repent of your sins and call on God to save you because of what Christ did for you. But then Christians, what about you? Are you on mission? We need to work for peace so that we can stay on mission. But the question is, are you on mission? Are you giving the gospel to others? Are you learning and growing in the teachings of Christ so that you can help guard the gospel? Who are you investing in to help become a stronger Christian? We say here at Faith Baptist Church that we're following Jesus together. But in order for that to be more than just a trite statement, for it to be more than a slogan, it means that you need to be meeting with someone and caring for their soul. Who in your life is that? Be on mission. Don't get distracted. And one way we can keep from distraction is to be at peace with others. And when you get off mission, it's real easy for you to start thinking of other people as your enemies instead of people that need the gospel. Many people are living their lives today without any direction or purpose. But that should not be so with you. God is with His church and He will be so eternally. He says, "Behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age." So you need to work for peace so that you can stay on mission. As we dwell here in the Rio Grande Valley, as Christians here at Faith Baptist Church, we should be honest and kind with our neighbors, even the mean ones, as much as lies within you. Sometimes people are just, you know, they can't get along with anyone. But don't let it be your fault. And certainly don't you be that person. Be honest and kind with your neighbors. Don't war over possessions. These are just things. They won't last. They won't even stay cool. Right? I can remember when I graduated from college, there was a particular car I thought, man, that is the coolest car ever. And 15 years later, it is the ugliest car ever. Right? So don't worry if your car gets a ding in it or if somebody runs into you. Be concerned about their soul. Don't war over possessions. Your neighbor doesn't mow his yard. It's aggravating. Doesn't keep it up. Settle down. It'll look a lot better in the new creation. Be good citizens of your city, your state, and your country. And pray. Pray for our leaders that we can live peacefully and worship the Lord and be obedient to Him. You need to work for peace so that you can stay on Christ's commission, His mission to make disciples by giving the gospel, guarding the gospel, and growing other Christians. Let's be on mission here at Faith Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Abraham's example as he finally settles into the promised land and begins to raise his son Isaac, who eventually gave through his lineage birth to Jesus, our one and only hope. I pray that we, like Abraham, will live peaceably with those around us and be kind to people and do good works and represent you well so that others see that we have an eternal perspective that they don't have, and that our focus and our concern is on a spiritual realm, not an earthly realm. And I pray, Father, that you will use us here at Faith Baptist Church to reach our neighbors with the gospel of Christ, to see other churches planted here in the Rio Grande Valley that will reach more people and more people throughout the valley, because we keep growing in population, Father, but we don't see more churches planted. We don't see churches growing. We need your grace to help us stay on mission and be about your business of seeing all people saved. And then, Father, for places we cannot go outside of this valley, pray that you will help us to be supporting missions with our finances, and praying for our missionaries that we support as they go out into these places we cannot go, and they stay on mission. Oh, Lord, God, please help us to live at peace with others so we can be on mission. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.